Portions of the following program were pre-recorded.
AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peete.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Peete.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
Let's go. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. All right, Rodney, a ton of stuff to get to today. And, you know, yesterday we talked about the fact that when you look at the Rams, you don't see a lot of drama.
No.
They take care of their business.
Yep.
Everybody understands the culture.
Yep.
And they keep it within the walls. And you don't see a lot of drama with the Rams. And if you don't fit in with the Rams, you're not on the Rams. It's just that simple. That's how winning franchises, winning businesses are constructed. There's a culture. People understand it. We're not putting you in a box. We're not pigeonholing you. But what we do is this is how we do it. You come on in and work within the way we do things. Be an individual. Express yourself. But this is how we do it. That's how successful businesses work. There's a blueprint. There's a plan. Everybody jump on board here. Now let's figure out the best way to execute the plan. No drama with the Rams. Man, there's a lot of drama with the Lakers. There is always drama with the Lakers. The Lakers are more than just a sports franchise in the city. The Lakers are part of the fabric of the community.
But there's always been drama with the Lakers.
Correct.
Like you said.
Correct.
And they've won.
Correct. They have. Different drama this go-round. Things have changed. Organization is really top-heavy now in salaries with certain players. You don't have enough to surround the guys you need surrounded because you've spent so much on three of them. So now the talk about Frank Vogel continues. Dan Wojcicki will join us during the 2 o'clock hour today. He and Brad Turner wrote, there are no current plans to replace Frank Vogel. Bill Oram wrote yesterday that Frank Vogel and the Athletic folks say is being judged game to game. Now, if you continue to read Dan's piece, it says there are no current plans to replace Frank Vogel, but that's an extreme possibility. So I think they're basically saying the same thing, just a different kind of headline with it. There's that possibility. Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report, our good friend, been on the show many times. He talked to a lot of people around the NBA. He's very plugged in. He talked to rival executives, people from other teams, and they all asked the same question, Rodney, you ask. And you asked it before anybody asked it. If you've moved Frank Vogel, now what are you going to do? Is that going to improve things? Is that going to change things? You going to get any better? Why would you remove Frank Vogel? Because it doesn't matter. It is what it is. You brought that up, what, a month and a half ago?
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't and, you know, and I've never been a proponent of firing coaches in the middle of a season, unless there's something that has drastically gone wrong, or he's lost a team, or he's done something outside the locker room that warrants him getting, you know, fired immediately, a la, you know, John Gruden in Vegas. That situation had to happen immediately. And on the flip side of that, I'm going to look at my own alma mater. They fired Clay Helton in the middle of the season, and I don't think that was advantageous to the win-loss record of USC. I happen to think that they probably win more games if they keep Clay Helton and let him ride out the season and fire him after the season. So unless there's something drastically going on or he's lost the locker room, I just don't think it's a good idea because, again, you have what you have, and it's not the Lakers' struggles are not a head coaching situation. The Lakers' struggles are the roster as it's constructed and them playing together and trying to figure out how it works. So if you fire Frank Vogel now, are you immediately going to get better? Are you, when David Fizdale steps in, is it going to be immediately better? I don't think he can fix the problems that the Lakers are facing right now. So I just never thought it was a really good thing. And you know, like you said, Fred, always somebody's got to get it. Well, why? Why does somebody got to get it? And I know that's the, you know, the reasoning, and people say that because it's a win situation. You got to win, win, win. But unless he's lost the locker room, and I haven't heard, you know, as much as you have mentioned that, you know, there's drama coming out of the Laker camp, I haven't heard the players turn on Frank Vogel. I haven't heard, you know, them disparaging remarks coming from inside the Laker locker room about Frank Vogel and disagreements with Frank Vogel. There hadn't been a whole lot of raining outwardly unsolicited, you know, applause of him either. But I just haven't seen the drama regarding him. So that respect, I just don't know if it's a good idea to fire somebody in the middle of the season.
Right. Well, it's not a good idea to fire him, but he probably will get fired. And as Eric Pincus reports, here's why. And it's something we have said all along. First, this is not his doing. He didn't come up with this mishmash of guys. This is Rob Pelinka, LeBron. I guess if you want to put Rich Paul in there, you can. He doesn't work for the team, but maybe he does. Kind of a shadow way. He represents so many of the guys. This is what they wanted. They got what they wanted. The only thing they didn't consider...
But did they get what Frank Vogel wanted?
Not at all. No, they didn't get... Who wants this? Nobody. Nobody wants this.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. A lot of people wanted this. That's why the people are here.
No. Okay, fair. But I'll say this. Anybody that looked at it unemotionally did not want it. Anybody that just looked at it objectively did not want this. Did not. But you got it. Frank Vogel didn't want it. Rival general managers and executives. What are you going to do with this? I mean, that's what they're saying. You know what they said? No, LeBron, they're a lottery team. That's what they think.
Yeah.
So it's like nobody wants this, but you got it.
They don't want the results. But at the time, people were, you know, there were a lot of people that said, okay, we'll see.
Yeah.
Not us.
No.
But there were a lot of people that said, you know, could work.
That's fair. That is a fair statement. So now the report is that Kurt Rambis. Yes? Kurt Rambis.
Superman.
Superman has attended a couple of coaching meetings. Now, anytime you hear the name Rambis associated with the Lakers, you know it's Linda Rambis, who Bill Plaschke called the shadow owner. Kurt Rambis, who is the husband of Linda Rambis, played for the Lakers and pretty much knows his stuff and has been an advisor in a capacity in that front office. And whenever you hear Kurt Rambis, people go, oh, God, now here's Kurt Rambis again. What the hell does Kurt Rambis do? Let me share this with you. I know Kurt Rambis. Rodney, you know Kurt.
Yep.
Yeah. Kurt knows what he's doing. He's not like a shadow guy. He really is an instrumental part of the Laker front office, and he should be. He knows what he's doing. He wasn't given a job just because we love Kurt. He knows what he's doing.
What is his job? What is his title?
He's kind of...
So you don't know. Okay, so
no,
yeah.
No,
so
no, he's in... no, I know his job.
No, when you start off saying, well, he's kind of... He's the... No.
You know what he is?
He's there. It's a friends and family deal. He's an advisor to the team. And let's leave it at that. But
he knows what he's doing.
What is Kurt's job? Kurt Rambis' job? Well, you know, he kind of is one of these guys. That means he doesn't have an official title.
He's senior basketball advisor.
Okay.
You know, special envoy to the president.
Yes, there you go.
You know?
Yes, friends and family. Yes.
Coordinating producer of
right.
everything that happens.
Well, yes.
He's one of those guys.
Right.
But he actually knows what he's doing. And he's eyes and ears. And he is on the board of people that are on the inner circle that talk about things. So now he's kind of involved in this. The problem here, and they play Indiana tonight, and we'll see who shows up. I think they'll play well tonight. I don't think you'll see another Denver effort. Let's just put it like that. You're not going to see
We might see a Denver result.
Could. But it came down to effort.
Not against Indiana, but I'm saying, you know.
Oh, down the road? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on the road, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'd be safe to say that it won't be because of lack of effort anymore. I don't think that's going to stand or fly anymore.
No. For Magic to have to do that, that was calling everybody out, and then LeBron had to respond. No, you won't see a lack of effort.
I don't know the last time LeBron apologized to the fans. I don't know if he's ever done that.
I don't think so either. If he if he wants to, then apologize for not going to Blaze Pizza.
You started that rumor he was supposed to be there, not him.
What my rumor?
Yeah.
Oh, he sent a tweet, Rodney. Let's not.
No, he didn't. That wasn't his tweet.
Who was it?
It wasn't him.
It was somebody else?
Yes.
Someone else acting like him?
Someone else sent a tweet that he was supposed to be at Blaze. He didn't send it. He didn't actually send a tweet. That wasn't him.
Yeah, he never said, I'm going to Blaze Pizza.
No, he never said that.
That is true. But he did say, oh, Blaze Pizza? Can I show up? Culver City?
There you go. He never said he was going.
Yeah, classy LeBron. Real classy. Just got to town. The king is here. So that's where you're at with the Lakers right now. And it's kind of a tough spot to be in. Frank Vogel, everybody, by the way, everybody in Eric Pincus's report says Frank Vogel does not deserve to lose his job. Does not deserve it at all.
No.
Did he become a bad coach all of a sudden? 2 years ago, they won a title. Granted, the bubble, still a title. It's a title. So now he stinks? Now he doesn't know how to coach?
Yeah.
With a roster that he didn't select? With this group of guys that, oh God, you know,
you know, wow, Fred.
Now,
I will say, and this goes to a discussion we had with Eric Dickerson yesterday, because Eric is like, the GM and the coach should be different entities, and you shouldn't. I think in a situation like this, it would play in Frank's favor if he had some final say over the roster, because now he basically has to deal with what the front office gave him. He has no say whatsoever in what he has to deal with, and now all the heat comes down on him over something he has zero control over.
You know, maybe we should change maybe they should change the way they play defense. Well, first, I would suggest they play defense.
Well, there's that.
That's number one. Okay, now how you go about playing defense, are you more aggressive? Do you switch more? I mean, let's not get into the nuts and bolts of playing defense. Do we stay in our man? Do we switch more? Are we more aggressive? When you get to that point, when people are starting that, you got a problem.
You're throwing stuff against the wall to see what works, because nothing else is.
Right. Maybe if Frank coached him like this defensively, but Frank's a defensive coach, but if he tried this, I mean, come on, man.
Yeah. Like they're not spending hours and hours studying film going, this doesn't work. This is not going to work for us. It'd be great if we could do this, but this doesn't work. We can't do this. We can't do that. So it's not like they're sitting back there. Oh, there's the suggestion box from fans. Let's say, maybe we should switch more. Oh, wait, this one fan said maybe play, play this guy more and start this guy. Oh yeah, let's put that in this. Oh no, these are let's give them credit for what they do, which is they're professional coaches that spend hours and hours and hours analyzing their team, studying their team and their players that we have no access to. And like you said, he has won a championship. Even before he came here, there was not a question of whether or not Frank Vogel was a good coach, right? That was not an issue. I don't think I ever heard when he was being considered and then finally got the Laker job. I don't think anybody ever came out and said Frank Vogel's not a good coach,
right?
Not a good coach. So it was pretty consistent. And in fact, I think it was more consistent. He's a really good coach. And now we're looking up 2 years after they win a title going, he can't coach all of a sudden.
When they acquired Russell Westbrook, Plaschke was on the show. And I called him out. I disagreed with him. You know, we don't always agree with Bill. I disagreed with this. He said, he'll blow this thing up. You'll see. He'll blow it up. And I said, he's not going to blow it up. He's not going to walk in and be a malcontent and be a problem. He's not going to blow it up. Now I know what he meant. He didn't mean he's going to go in there and become a malcontent, lose his mind, start yelling at people. No. Just this move itself is going to blow this up.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. That's it. That's why there's so much pressure on Westbrook now. You got to do it, man. You're here. You're making all this money. We can only afford three guys that are actually legit big-time guys because these are the three we've got. We paid them. You got to do something. It's a bad situation.
There's pressure on Westbrook?
You don't think?
That's not what he said. He talked to Sam Amick last week. He goes, I'm happy. I'm back home. I'm smiling. Everything's cool with me.
He's got it in perspective.
Exactly.
Right. He's got work-life balance.
He says winning a title is great, and I'd love to do it, but I'm not defined by that, which I think is actually a really healthy perspective to have, but fans probably don't want to hear that.
Yeah, no, it's very healthy. Everybody should have that perspective.
Fans don't want you to go out to dinner after you lose.
Right.
Well, you shouldn't eat.
No, you shouldn't eat anything.
I mean, there were times I thought you should have weighed 6 ounces. Yeah. You shouldn't have eaten for a month.
Correct. Yeah. You know? Yeah, which rubs fans even more the wrong way when you say that after you haven't been playing well and the Lakers are losing and then you hear that. It's like fans like, oh, I want to hear you eat, sleep, drink 24/7 basketball. What are you talking about? It's not the most important thing. Forget your kids. The hell with your wife. Wait till the off season to deal with your family.
You know, the Lakers have always been kind of a mom and pop shop, family run.
Yeah.
They've got a very small inner circle. Other NBA teams approach things differently because business has changed over the years. By the way, if I have Jerry West running my franchise, I could have a small circle and be just fine. I'm really good. Okay. But I don't. So now, you know, you have more voices and things are structured differently, but the Lakers don't do that. For example, the Clippers haven't won anything, and maybe they never will. But they function like a well-run business now.
Do they?
Yeah, with Steve Ballmer.
Do they?
Their front office, yeah.
Do they? Think? Didn't they just have a blow-up, an internal locker room drama with got Doc Rivers up out of here? Didn't that just happen recently?
Well, if you want to say
sorry, that. Facts don't matter. I forgot.
Well, they couldn't. Well, Rodney, they couldn't get over the hump. They had to make a change.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but there wasn't any drama with Montrezl Harrell and Paul George and Kawhi in the locker room. That drama didn't, they kept that under wraps, right? That never happened.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
I never heard about that.
Exactly.
No, what I'm saying is just the way the front office operates. No, the human beings as players, there could always be something occasionally. I'm saying the way the front office operates and the decisions they make. They haven't won, and maybe it's a poor example, but it's a well-run business now.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
You could say since Rob Pelinka took over the Lakers and Jerry West took over the Clippers, Rob Pelinka's 1-0.
You could say that.
Right?
You could absolutely
if we're saying, you know, it's about winning. I mean, we compare on every other aspect of things. You just talked about a well-run machine and no drama coming out of there. But well, there was some drama, and they haven't won.
That's true. And the Lakers have won. One, since Rob Pelinka took over. That's
absolutely
a fair statement. Okay, what have you done for me lately? Now we're here. Frank Vogel has won one.
Correct.
Okay? They're saying to Frank, what have you done for me lately?
Correct. Because the Lakers are not the Clippers.
Right. That's fair.
And the Clippers can go years without winning because they haven't won one.
True.
The Lakers go 2 years of mediocrity, then they're ready to fire the coach.
Yeah.
So that's just a difference in standards, but let's not pretend that there ain't drama across the hall, because there was drama with that whole locker room and got with the Doc Rivers and getting him up out of here and the whole thing. There was drama with, the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, that whole situation. There was drama there too. So let's not pretend the Clippers don't have drama over there with Steve Ballmer being the owner. He's a great owner. But let's not pretend they don't have drama.
No, but it seems their front office decisions. And again, they haven't won, but it seems like there's a little different structure to what they do compared to the old very small circle of people. If it's the right circle, it's great. The only person you really need in the Lakers circle, Rodney, is LeBron. That's it. LeBron is making the decisions. And that's why at the beginning of the year, we said point blank, and you disagreed a little bit, got to win now because next year is not going to get any better. And the clock is ticking on LeBron, who's having a phenomenal year, having an incredible year. It's like he's got to play this way to try to make up for these decisions off the court.
He's playing this way, and they're only 500.
Right?
Yeah.
You're not going to get any better that way. You got the best guy in your team playing out of his mind, and you can get blown up by 37. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's bad.
No, it's bad.
Well, they'll try to right that ship tonight against Indiana.
Who are you going
to
fire?
Who are you going to fire?
Yeah. Rich what Paul. Makes it better?
I'll tell you. You fire Rich Paul.
Really?
Great. You fire Rich Paul, then you fire like 80% of the roster, too. There you go. Because they're all his clients. So have fun with that.
Yeah, who do you fire?
Yeah. You blame Rich Paul like people blame Scott Boras. No, no, he gets his best for his clients. He's going to do for his clients like he's supposed to as an agent.
I don't know who you fire. That's why there's one guy lined up in the sights. Every game now will be interesting.
Yeah. So this team as constructed next year, does it, you know, a new coach changes everything?
Nothing. Nothing. What does it change?
Right.
But people,
so why are you firing him? Because of the public pressure?
Because you have to give the illusion you're doing something.
Why?
Oh, because then if you don't do that, seriously, then people have to actually look in the mirror. And then people start pointing the finger in other places.
You have to give the illusion to who that you're doing something?
Your fan base.
Yeah.
You have to give it to your fan base.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And it's exactly what happened with Clay Helton and USC. When they saw that Coliseum being empty.
Game
and
over.
People booing.
Yeah.
At a home game, getting blown out at home, and the crowd booing at the end of the game or booing at halftime, and people not showing up, it was, okay, we got to do something now.
That's
so I get that. I don't think it's right, but I understand that, because if you try to coddle too much to the fan base, then you're going to be on a hamster wheel.
All right, later this hour, we're going to play a little Know Your Squad. Today,
come out!
Squad is the Lakers. We'll do it, 12:45. So if you want to play, make sure you're ready to go then. Up next, we'll get a little more into this. And we'll get started on the Rams today with Dylan Hernandez of the Times.
Now's your chance to win $1,000.
Unbelievable.
Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website. Hey, that's hey. Enter at am570lasports.com. Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much, yes.
Speaking of which, traffic.
Hey, it's your girl, Nina Chantel. You're listening to my homies, Fred Rogan and Rodney P. on am570 LA Sports, your home of the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah. A beautiful, beautiful hump day. Rodney P., Fred Rogan, let's go. Rodney, let's bring out a buddy of ours, columnist for the LA Times. You know, sometimes we have to mix it up with this guy. Sometimes we have to. We have no choice. We'll see how it goes today. Dylan Hernandez. Dylan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you. All right, let's start with this. We were just talking about the Lakers situation and Frank Vogel. We are both of the opinion that Frank Vogel does not deserve to lose his job. But sadly, given the situation, if somebody's got to take the blame for this, it's got to be him because there's nobody else. What do you think about the situation?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the Lakers are just desperate, right? I mean, this, in a lot of ways, kind of mirrors even what they did getting Westbrook, I think, over the offseason, where, you know, okay, you know, where they finished last year, we got to make some changes. Westbrook doesn't really fit, but you have to do something, you know? And anytime you make moves from a position of desperation, you're going to make, you know, usually make things worse, right? Because you're just kind of throwing up a Hail Mary there. They threw up a Hail Mary with Westbrook. Things got worse. You know, I don't get the logic at all either. You know, the fact that they're a bad defensive team. This guy's a good defensive coach, and now you're going to get rid of him in hopes of, like, what? You know? But, again, it's a move that would be made out of desperation. My guess is whoever they come in won't be as good a defensive coach as Vogel, and things will wind up actually getting worse. You know, and they're kind of in this weird borderline, you know, I don't know if I, you know, it's too much to call it like a death spiral, but, you know, things are kind of swirling down in a bad direction, obviously.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing that, and you just mentioned it, everybody, it's widely known around the NBA and inner circles as well that Frank Vogel's a really good coach and a very good defensive coach. And making a change for the sake of making a change, Dylan, does it, like you mentioned, it doesn't really, it's not really going to change anything, so why do you have to do it? Is it, like Fred said, to satisfy your fan base? That's the reason you make the change?
Yeah, and to kind of get the most out of LeBron James, right? I mean, he's kind of nearing the end of his career. I don't think that's any secret. You know, and again, where the franchise was before LeBron, you know, when he came over, it was, you know, they kind of handed him the keys to the palace, right? Because they really had no other choice. They at least did get one. Now, granted, it was a pandemic championship, but they still got a championship out of it. I mean, imagine if they hadn't even won that, right? And now you're kind of trying to salvage that. At least he delivered one championship, and you're kind of trying to squeeze, you know, whatever's left in that thing. But, you know, this decision, I think, in some ways was kind of put in motion. Again, once you put the franchise in LeBron James's hands, stuff like this was kind of bound to happen, I think.
Dylan Hernandez of the Times with us. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peete, AM 570, LA Sports. Okay, so we've got the Rams Sunday taking on Tampa. Dylan, I like the Rams in the game. I think the Rams win that game. But you're facing Tom Brady. Matthew Stafford said yesterday, it's not like he's playing Tom Brady one-on-one. If you look at the quarterback matchup, I mean, it's two teams playing against each other, not Brady against Stafford. How do you see this game?
Yeah, well, you know, I think, one, the injury report's going to be kind of important, right? I mean, Tampa, obviously, they've, you know, I mean, a lot's been made of the Rams' depleted secondary. You know, Tampa's receiver core has been kind of decimated here, you know, in the last few weeks. You know, the Leonard Fournette, is he going to play or not? He obviously missed the game last week. You know what? What is interesting, though, is in that regular season game in, what was that, week three, the game was kind of decided by the quarterbacks there. You know, Stafford came out, threw for four touchdowns, played a great game. Brady passed for 400 yards. You know, key stat there, zero interceptions for Matthew Stafford. You know, I think a lot of it's going to kind of depend on him not making mistakes. And then, you know, again, can the Rams defense put as much pressure on Brady as, you know, maybe not quite as much as they did on Kyler Murray, but, you know, can they, you know, can they pressure Brady and disrupt his rhythm?
Yeah, that's going to be key, is disrupting his rhythm. And I always said this, and it's a trap you can fall into as a quarterback when you're trying to compete against the guy on the other side, when you're really playing against the defense. But if you got to go, I got to go toe-to-toe with Tom Brady, that's when mistakes start to happen. But do you look at this game as still a big game for Matthew Stafford? Because, yes, he got the monkey off his back and won, you know, his first playoff game against Arizona. But let's face it, Arizona was not really a playoff team. I put them in the category that the Pittsburgh Steelers are not really a playoff team, nor were the Philadelphia Eagles this year. They got in, but they really weren't. So does he still have that pressure on him to win this game? I know not as much, but there's still added pressure because now he's going up against a really good football team on the road. Can he do it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's going to be a ton of, you know, because they got him to go to the Super Bowl, right? I mean, this whole season, that's what this has been about, to get to, you know, the Super Bowl that your stadium is going to host. You know, fair or not, you know, not just this week, but it's also going to be, you know, if they get past Brady, can they win next week, right, and get to that Super Bowl, because that's where everything is, you know. And, you know, Tampa, I believe, what is it, they were like third in the league, I believe, in rush defense. So, you know, even though you have Cam Akers back and, you know, as great as he looked last week, you're going to, you know, my assumption is that Stafford's going to have to make big plays for them to win this game. And, you know, again, the goal is a Super Bowl, so absolutely there's pressure on him.
And that being said, and this is something we kicked around, if the Rams at least don't get to the NFC Championship game, is the season a failure?
I think so, you know, and I would even argue, you know, even though they're not favored to do so at this moment, that they have to get to the Super Bowl. You know, that, again, that was kind of the goal. Everything they've done, you know, has kind of pointed in that direction, right? It's been done with the Super Bowl in mind. You know, now, you know, I mean, yes, at that point, the season becomes a disappointment. You know, is it a calamity necessarily? I'm not necessarily sure of that. But, you know, another thing to kind of keep in mind, too, I think, you know, that kind of hit me right now is, you know, we saw that last game of the regular season against San Francisco, and you saw the number of 49ers fans that came in SoFi. And, you know, and again, I know the way the ticket market works, right? A lot of season ticket holders probably thought, hey, you know what? Prices are going up. This is a way for me to kind of recoup some money, you know, that I could use in the playoffs or whatever. But the reality is that a visiting team came in and, you know, kind of took over their stadium. This market is still up for grabs. We can't forget about that part, you know, and the Chargers got a lot of great things going on there. You know, obviously the Niners are really popular here. The Raiders are still very popular here. So, you know, this is kind of more than just a season that's at stake here. They're fighting for the heart of Los Angeles, I think.
Yeah, how much do you think, we talk about Matthew Stafford, how much pressure is on Sean McVay as well? You know, in the games that he has lost, it feels like he has kind of gotten, you know, I don't know, every one of them, but he's gotten out-coached. And things have kind of gone awry where he's abandoned the running game. And I know, like you mentioned, Tampa's got a great great run defense, but you can't abandon it, especially early in the game. How much pressure is on McVay to come away with the win and get to the Super Bowl as well? I know he's already been there, but now that he's got his guy.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly it, right? I mean, you know, last year I think the feel was, and when they traded for Stafford, the feel was, okay, what they were basically saying was, you know, the problem was the quarterback, you know, and so they went out, you know, traded 2 first-round picks. They got, right, McVay got his guy. I think there's a lot of pressure for him to deliver. You know, you mentioned him getting to that one Super Bowl, but, you know, kind of the shine came off him a bit there, right? I mean, he, you know, going into that game, it was kind of the high-scoring Rams and, you know, McVay being an innovator, and it hasn't quite been the same since then, you know. So I really do think he has to kind of get back there and, you know, at least put on a better showing offensively than they did last time to kind of restore, you know, his reputation and just kind of get that mojo back that he had early on.
You know, you said something earlier about trying to capture the heart of the city. When Bill Plaschke was on, he was saying that according to the Times metrics and people that click on stories, he thought younger fans now were more interested in the Chargers. Are you seeing that?
You know what? I'm not so sure about that. I think that there's a lot of interest in Justin Herbert. You know, I think he's probably the most exciting player in this market. You know, you could obviously argue that Donald and Ramsey are, you know, just as dominant or if not more dominant, but, you know, they do have the most exciting player in this market, right? You can't, you know, a quarterback is a quarterback. And so, yeah, I think that there's, you know, and I think more than that, there's just kind of a positive feel that's going on there, right? I mean, even despite of how their season ended, you know, again, I think part of it is because they have this younger quarterback and they have this kind of younger, you know, whiz kid type of head coach. There's a feeling of positive momentum, you know, whereas kind of with the Rams, I think a few years ago, they get to the Super Bowl and it's kind of, okay, they can't quite get over that hump yet. So, you know, I do think that the momentum is probably more on the Chargers side.
Yeah, I see that. Although I do believe the Rams, and granted it was Arizona, not a fan base like the 49ers or the Raiders or somebody else, but the Rams fans really made it difficult on Arizona and came out. I think they got the memo that it was embarrassing with the 49er game, that they better come out and show up for that first playoff game. So I do feel that. But, I you know, the Rams have got to go deep. How do you see the game with Tampa happening, Dylan?
You know, I think a lot of it is going to be, well, maybe not a lot, but, you know, again, it looks like Fournette's going to play just based on this kind of cryptic tweet I think he put out yesterday. So, you know, that gives them kind of the run there, right? I mean, that is like the one thing that I you know, when you look at the Rams that has to concern you is there have been times when the other team's just been able to just run the ball down their throat. And, you know, if they can establish any semblance of a run at all, then I think it really kind of opens up things for Brady. You know, I just kind of have a feeling he's going to find kind of those openings. You know, I think with the Rams roster, right, they have the star players, you know, especially in the secondary. It just feels that there's not much depth there. It's kind of Jalen Ramsey and some other guys, and, you know, they're moving them around to kind of fill in those holes. You know, my gut just kind of tells me that Brady's going to be a step ahead there.
All right. Well, Dylan, we appreciate you coming on. Thank you for the time. Thank you for the insight. We'll chat again soon.
All right, thanks so much.
Dylan Hernandez of the Times, our buddy, weighing in today. All right, who is ready to play a little Know Your Squad? And today the squad is the Lakers. 866-987-2570. Here's what we'll do. Well, we do the same thing every day. But we'll really do it today.
First caller.
Doesn't matter who you are. If you're the first caller, Kevin will pick you up, put you on the air, and you're playing Rodney and Ronnie next.
Nothing, and I mean nothing, will slow down the spread.
Take your medicine! Take your medicine! Choke on it!
Morning, noon, and night, we're exposing you.
He's being exposed.
To great sports talk.
Oh, okay.
I see.
Take the necessary measures, and don't leave your house without headphones. LA's most listened to sports talk. Last year, next year, and forever.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much, yes.
Speaking of which, traffic. And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah!
Afternoon delight.
I never believed that I would concede unless someone tripped on me. You strung me along, I thought I was strong, but you were just...
All right, let's go. Love the message. Today's afternoon delight is Won't Stand Down by Muse. The song was released along with music video over the weekend and marks the first release by the group since 2018. In a statement, frontman Matt Bellamy said, Won't Stand Down is a song about standing your ground against bullies, whether that be on the playground, at work, or anywhere. Frontman Matt Bellamy said of the single in a statement, protecting yourself from coercion and sociopathic manipulation and to face adversity with strength, confidence, and aggression. Again, today's afternoon delight is Won't Stand Down by Muse.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette. Know your squad.
Make sure you catch NBA Hall of Famer this afternoon at 3:30 for Petros and Money. Brought to you by the Ford F-150. Talking about James Worthy. Ford F-150, the official truck of the Super Bowl. Test drive one at your local Southern California Ford dealership. It's your home of Super Bowl 56, AM 570, LA Sports. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome Linnell back to the show. Linnell, how are you?
I'm good. How's it going, Fred?
Doing well today, Linnell. You ready to go?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Come on, Linnell. Let's do it.
Here we go, Rodney.
Rodney, you ready?
I'm ready, Fred and Rod. Let's go.
Okay. Know your squad. Linnell, you know the rule, right? I have to give you all five choices?
Yep, got it.
All right. Don't answer too soon. You get locked out.
Don't do it.
Let's go. Who holds the franchise record for most consecutive free throws made in a playoff game without a miss when he went 18 for 18 from the line?
Ooh.
Kobe Bryant, Jerry West, Magic Johnson, Glenn Rice, or Glenn Fry?
Magic Kobe Johnson.
Bryant. Kobe Bryant.
Jerry West.
The answer is Kobe Bryant, and Rodney got it first.
Right on.
All right. Yeah, it's not Dodgers today, Ronnie, so it'll take you a second. Ronnie just blows right through the Dodgers.
Yeah, he does.
That's his
strength. Dodger stat man.
Yeah. Linnell, what's your strength?
Oh, I think the Lakers.
Okay.
Definitely can't play Ronnie and SC. He killed me last time. The Trojans.
Oh, yeah. That kind of inbred it in me.
I think we stopped doing that because Rodney was working over everybody. So we just stopped doing Know Your Trojans.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't fair.
No. And it shouldn't have been fair.
No.
If you'd have lost that, it would have been humiliating.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of good for both of us. All of us. Because I don't want to be embarrassed by losing to Know Your Trojans.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Thanks, Kevin.
Course.
James Worthy led the Lakers with a game-high 36 points in Game 7 of the 88 NBA Finals against Detroit. Who was the Lakers' second leading scorer in that game with 21 points? Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Byron Scott, Michael Thompson, or Carissa Thompson?
Byron Scott.
Byron Scott is correct.
Rodney got that.
Yeah, Rodney got in a little bit earlier than Ronnie did.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Look at you, Fred, trying to hesitate on me. Oh.
No.
Thank you, Ronnie, for being up front, and Kevin, too, because Fred was trying to take that. He was.
I wasn't trying to take it.
Yeah, you were.
I was just confirming.
Yeah, you were.
No, I wasn't. I'm just confirming. I want to be fair to everybody. Linnell, you were in there, but a little late.
I think it's a delay. I think it's a phone delay, Fred.
Ha-ha!
Yo,
I see what you're doing.
We're going to have to do it in person. We're going to have to do it in person one of these days.
You want to do it in person one day?
Yeah, no delays.
You know what, Kevin, we should do?
Fred will give you his home address after the show.
Oh.
So, there you go. You can go to his house and play later on.
Yeah, just come over, sit down, and I'll start reading your questions. But, Kevin, you know what we should do? I mean, because
Kevin, brace yourself, Kevin.
No, seriously.
And there he starts out like, when he starts like that,
uh-oh.
Kevin, it just, and it didn't tell you about it off air. He's going to bring it up on the air.
Yeah, given the enormous success of our fishing tournament. How that was embraced by all.
Correct.
Yeah. What happened to that fishing tournament?
For real.
It was years in the making.
We had what I thought was a serious meeting about that.
Did you?
Right? Did you not think that was a serious meeting?
We did. Yes.
Kevin, right?
Yes, we did. Yes.
The boat sank.
Well, remember, they weren't going to let us go on a boat. Because they thought if somebody fell over and drowned, we'd get sued.
Liability issues for a boat.
Yeah. So, given the success of the fishing tournament, which nobody helped us with, we can do this. Why don't we have a tournament of champions? And the people that have done the best job playing the games will come up with like a bracket. They will play each other. And whoever wins will win the grand prize.
Which would be?
That's another issue. That's right.
You know, maybe we can do that. That's a great idea, Fred. We have March Madness coming up here not too long from now. So
they play each other. Yeah. And then they eventually come on air and play me and Ronnie in studio. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, you want to do that?
I don't know what you're saying. Is that what you said or no?
Well, you said they'd win a prize, but I mean, I guess, you know, COVID restrictions, you know, notwithstanding, if we can allow them into the building at that point in time, we'll be opposed to whoever wins comes to pick up their prize and participates in another game on the air in studio.
How about an 8x10 glossy of Fred Rogan as a grand prize?
Okay, nobody wants that.
Fred, you know you're going to bring like 10 of them in.
I don't have them anymore. They think so little of us, they don't even take our picture anymore. It doesn't matter. So what we would do is we'd have brackets, right? And whoever wins gets the prize. I'm sure we can find a prize.
We'll figure something out. But yeah, that's, you know, usually when you have these sort of ideas on the air, on the fly, Fred, they're awful. This is pretty good.
Hey, so Linnell, you can be in the Tournament of Champions.
All right, we got to get Miko in there too.
You want Miko too? Yeah, Miko could be in.
Yeah. Yep, let's get him.
You know who else? Joe would be good for Tournament of Champions.
Okay.
What's our guy from Long Beach? Zach?
Zach from Long Beach calls in a lot, yep.
He'd be good at Tournament of Champions?
Mm-hmm.
Isabel?
I don't know if Isabel's ever played a game with us before.
No, she couldn't be on Tournament of Champions.
Correct.
Because she doesn't play the game. Mitch?
Your favorite, Fred.
Yeah.
No, Mitch doesn't play the games. He can't be in Tournament of Champions either. But anyway, we'll start making a list.
Okay, good.
And then we'll have Tournament of Champions. That'll be fun.
I like it.
Okay. So today, Rodney's up 2-0. Here's your next question. Who holds the franchise record for highest field goal percentage in a single season at 72%? JaVale McGee, Wilt Chamberlain, Montrezl Harrell, Dwight Howard, or Ron Howard?
JaVale McGee.
JaVale McGee.
It is Wilt Chamberlain, and it is Ronnie. Man, Linnell, you may not qualify for Tournament of Champions.
Whoa.
I mean, this is not a good outing for you.
Whoa.
No, I had the first two right. Just the delay.
Is that okay?
It's the request for studio time there, Freddie.
All right. Here's your next one. Who is the franchise career leader in steals per game with an average of 2.1? Michael Cooper, Eddie Jones, Nick Van Exel, Magic Johnson, or Jack Johnson?
Michael Cooper.
How about
Michael
you? Cooper.
Eddie Jones.
Rodney, Eddie Jones.
Ronnie, you got me by a split second.
Yeah, man.
Well, it wasn't exactly a split second.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a delay.
All right, you know what we're going to do on this one? No, here's what we're going to do.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
I'm going to read it. Rodney and Ronnie may not answer until Linnell's voice appears. So that will eliminate this delay on the first one. Let's just see if it works. Let's see if he has a point. So the minute you hear Linnell's voice, you guys can answer. So, Linnell, you'll get the first crack at this. Fair?
There.
All right. The Lakers beat the 76ers in 5 games in the 2001 NBA Finals. By the way, I was there. Shaq and Kobe led them in scoring in Game 5 with 29 points and 26 points, respectively. Who was the Lakers' third leading scorer in that game? Derek Fisher, Rick Fox, Ron Harper, Robert Horry, or Robert Kennedy?
I'll go with Derek Fisher.
No good! Rick Fox.
Oh.
Rick Fox is correct. Linnell, it was not the delay.
No.
It was not the delay, Linnell. I'm sorry. And Rodney just sat it out. He didn't care. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Ronnie.
Well, no. Once we heard Linnell's voice, everybody could play. That was the rule.
Yeah.
And we heard it?
I heard something different, though.
What did you hear?
Inside joke, Fred.
Oh,
Fred. We'll tell you during the break, maybe.
Okay, tell me during the break.
I said maybe.
All right. I've told you about when Rick Fox kissed me.
You have talked about this, yes.
Yes, you have.
All right, tell it again.
Did he give you some tongue?
Let's hear it again.
Made all the ladies jealous, Fred.
Yes.
No, Linnell, who said did he give you some tongue? Was that you, Linnell?
Not me.
Oh, Rodney.
Not
Rodney
me. Definitely not me.
That's disgusting. But he did have. But I've said it.
Did he?
I've said it to his face.
Did he?
No. Oh. But he has the softest lips of any human being.
Did he smell like strawberries, Fred?
I don't know. He just played a game.
He watermelon sugar?
He did not smell like watermelon sugar. He just played a game. But you know, I can't get that memory out of my mind either. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, we can tell.
Yeah. Right.
Here is the last question. So here's where we're at. Ronnie, you get it. You tie Rodney. Rodney, you get it. You won. Linnell, you get it. You're on the board. This could be big in our decision to include you in Tournament of Champions. It's like Jeopardy, Tournament of Champions.
Right.
Good luck to all. Magic Johnson and Kobe Bryant are first and second in career assists. Who is third in career assists while wearing a Laker uniform? Norm Nixon, Nick Van Exel, Jerry West, Gail Goodrich, or Gail King?
Norm Nixon.
No good.
Jerry West. Linnell.
Yep. All right, I'm on the board.
Linnell is on. Did you say Jerry West?
Way to go, Linnell.
I said Jerry West.
He did say Jerry West. Yes, he did.
All right, Linnell, you're on the board. Congratulations.
Why are you questioning Linnell? Why are you questioning whether he said?
Yeah, exactly. I'm the most honest contestant. Yeah,
exactly.
And Fred, you already hit the button, the applause, and said Linnell got it.
Yeah,
but you want
and then
to
you question him.
The reason I had to question him, honestly,
trust your ears, Fred. What happened?
No, because he said it. I went Linnell, but then he answered another one real fast, and I thought, wait a minute. Maybe I didn't hear what he said at first. So I wanted to confirm it.
But that happens all the time, Fred. People do rapid fire because they want to get the correct one.
Yes, but I'm saying I just wanted to be accurate. I mean, there was a lot riding on this.
Linnell say Jerry West.
Yeah, but
even though he said something else, you knew he said Jerry West.
Yes, but I didn't trust myself. I didn't trust myself because so much was riding on it. For you, Rodney, congratulations.
Never lost. Of course. Am I in the Tournament of Champions?
They will play you at the end of the Tournament of Champions.
Of course they will.
Yeah, at the end. Yeah.
Yeah, and Linnell, a lot was riding on that because if he had not got one, he would have been omitted from the Tournament of Champions.
Wait, so is that how this
works,
by the way?
Yeah, I would have lost in the play-in round.
Is this tournament of a nice try?
Yeah. Usually, Fred, when it comes to tournaments, you have to actually win to qualify in advance. So is it just people who just showed a good fight and good effort?
Right. You're going back to your day. What was that little basketball kid that
little
played
Owen
on your team?
Oh, Owen.
Owen. Oh, Fred broke his heart.
Linnell, you have won before.
Yeah, I beat Ronnie. I think it was
in 2017.
For real or Fugazi possibly, which we haven't played in a year.
Yeah, for real or Fugazi, yeah.
All right, so he beat him in for real or Fugazi, and he plays, so he is in. That's it. And we will determine who's in the Tournament of Champions in the next 2 weeks. Fair? So every day, people call, we're going to keep track now. And some people are
grandfathered. I love listening to you guys.
All right. We know, Linnell, wait. And some people are grandfathered in.
They're grandfathered in?
Yeah, that have played a lot. They get invited. And won. Yeah. So that's how we're going to do it. All right. Linnell.
But I never lost.
No, well, that's true.
Never lost.
Well, then let's just say they made a game of it.
Okay.
All right.
Deal.
Good. So, Linnell, thank you. We appreciate you listening. You now have your invitation to the Tournament of Champions.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, Laker fans, coming up next hour, here's the question. And we'll open the phone lines. How do you fix the Lakers? I mean, you're kind of in no man's land now, right? You're not great. You're not horrible. You're trending the other way, though. How do you fix the Lakers? We'll open the phone lines and hear from you later next hour.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The game is over. The 49ers have won.
Last week is last week. That's in the past, man. New challenge today. New opponent.
They're on their way to Lambeau.
Oh, my goodness.
The NFC divisional round kicks off this Saturday as the San Francisco 49ers head to Lambeau to take on the top-seeded Packers. With the Bruins on AM 570, hear kickoff at 5:15 on AM 1150.
You lead us.
Yes, sir.
That's a championship drive, baby.